Acts chapter 15. Verses 22 through 41. This is the word of the Lord. And it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter. The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria, Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. And after they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them and Pamphylia, and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. In Acts chapter 15, we see the unity of the church on display in the Jerusalem Council. For this council began with controversy. And during the council, there was much debate. But those who were gathered together, they submitted their judgment to the words of the prophets and to the testimony of the apostles. And at last they came to one accord. And their decision, it brought joy to those who heard it. Joy and encouragement and strength. And in the end, it was peace. There was peace in the church. And the unity of the church We see the glory of Christ. As in Psalm 133, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron. Running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Here our eyes are opened to see that which the world could not have seen had they observed the Jerusalem Council. They would have seen a part of that council, but they would not have seen the whole of it, for the whole of it could only be seen with the eyes of faith. Yes, they would have seen the apostles and the elders gathered together, but they would not have seen the Lord enthroned above them, or the grace of his Spirit running down upon them, resting upon them, and binding them together as one. In the unity of the church, we see the glory of Christ. And where there is unity, there is peace. And so we see here the church living in peace, living that quiet and peaceable life to which she is called, insofar as she is able. But this only heightens the pain and sorrow of what comes next. It is the pain and sorrow when brothers separate in disagreement. And if you were to think of two who were less likely to separate, surely it would be Paul and Barnabas. When the church in Jerusalem was afraid of Paul, when no one believed that he was a disciple, who was it who came and took him and brought him before the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord and how the Lord had spoken to him? It was Barnabas. And from that time in Acts, we have seen Paul and Barnabas together more often than not. But now their friendship is tested and seemingly broken. It begins with something that ought to have united them, a desire to return to the saints. In those places to which they had come when first sent for the church in Antioch. A desire to provide pastoral care to those churches that had been established. Here they are united in that desire. They are motivated by the same desire to tend the sheep of the Lord's pasture. But though they were united in this desire, they did not agree on how best to fulfill this work. Barnabas desired to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul disagreed. Mark had been with them before, He had been with them at the beginning of their first journey. But he had not remained with them for the whole of their journey. He had departed from them early on in that journey and returned to Jerusalem. We are not told why he did so, only that he did so. But whatever the reason, it would seem that for Paul, it was unwise to bring with them one whom they could not trust to remain with them, to go with them the whole way, whatever the cost. And surely we can see the wisdom in Paul's thinking here. For in the case of pastoral care, what good is it to the sheep if the shepherd leaves them? It does the church no good to have pastors who remain with a congregation so long as it is convenient to them, who leave as soon as something better is found. Does that say to the sheep? What does that say of Christ? And so we understand the sense and wisdom of Paul's thinking here. Yet at the same time, we may imagine that Barnabas thought it right to be patient with Mark, to be patient with whatever weakness there was in him, and to give him this opportunity in their company to grow and to become the sort of man that the church needs. With that, we may also see the sense of his thinking. And if we are right that this is what each one was thinking, it is hard for us to say that one was right, that one was wrong. Truly, we can sympathize with both. But as with most disagreements, the question is not usually who is right, but who will love. And that is the great sorrow of this passage. Not the disagreement itself, but how that disagreement was resolved. In verse 39, we are told that there arose a sharp disagreement between them. This word translated as sharp disagreement, we see it in another form in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. There it is translated as irritable, as in love is not irritable. Here we see Paul and Barnabas provoked. Provoked not to love, to irritation. Not to love, but to anger. What was the result of their argument? Result. Separation. We are told that they separated from each other. This is not two men agreeing to disagree. This is two men separating from one another in anger. We should not see their separation as peaceable, as bitter, as something to mourn,
Two brothers, two friends, unable to dwell together in unity. Is this truly the only way to resolve their disagreement? It's the only resolution, separation. Would not say that the scriptures are here commending to us our separation. For the separation may have quieted the arguments, but did it quiet their heart? May separate from those with whom we disagree. But does not our anger go with us? Would it not be better to separate from our anger and remain with our brother and friend? Now, if the text would have us be more sympathetic to one than the other, it is not explicit. But perhaps its sympathy lies more with Paul, as we are told that he was commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And the same is not said of Barnabas. And this is the last we hear of Barnabas in Acts. We do not meet him again. And yet, it may be that the last word belongs to Barnabas. For when we come to the last of Paul's letters, a letter written shortly before his death, in that letter he writes to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Do your best to come to me soon. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me in ministry. Here at the end of his life, we find Paul asking for the company of that man over whom his friendship with Barnabas had been broken so many years before. We are not told that Paul was ever reconciled to Barnabas in his life. But here we may imagine that his heart was softened toward him, and in his heart reconciled to him. Perhaps even remembering that time when the church spoke of them, our beloved Barnabas and Paul. What shall we say of these things? The glory of Christ is made known in the unity of the church. Then we may say that the grace of Christ is made known in her disagreements. The blessing of the church does not depend upon our always agreeing with one another. It depends upon the grace of Christ. For even after Paul and Barnabas separate, we are told that the churches were strengthened. The grace of Christ is able to sustain us in the midst of disagreement. The grace of Christ is able to sustain us even when that disagreement leads us to separate ourselves from one another. Does not leave us to ourselves, for still we are beloved to Him. He has reconciled all things in Himself. He will reconcile us to one another. We should not suppose this will always be immediate. And for some, it will not be in this life. And so, as we look upon the church, we see how in many ways she is broken. But however broken the church may seem, however broken she really may be, here we see what the world cannot see. We see what only the eyes of faith can see. The Lord enthroned above her, pouring down His grace upon her, cleansing her of anger and pride, clothing her with humility and love. In her unity, His glory is shown. In her disagreement, His grace is known. In the kindness of His providence, He uses even our disagreements for good. But let us not suppose that disagreement is itself good. Separation is pleasant. The end. The failure of Paul and Barnabas was not so much a failure to agree, but a failure to love. How then shall we live? There will always be disagreements among you. We will not always agree on everything. The unity of this church is not known in our agreeing on everything with one another. The unity of this church is known by her humility. By her humility in disagreement, by her love in disagreement. Let us then learn how to disagree in love. Let us learn how, even in disagreement, to dwell with one another in unity. Let there then be love among us. For the true unity of the church is not found in her agreement, but in her love. It is the love of Christ that binds us together, even when we disagree. Where there is love, there is unity. And where there is unity, there is peace. What shall we say? Let us love one another. Amen.